الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله لا إله إلا الله
لا إله إلا الله إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله All praise due to Allah سبحانه وتعالى We thank Him, we depend on Him, and we seek His forgiveness. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from the evils of our hearts and from our bad deeds. Verily, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides someone, no one can misguide him. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala misguides someone, then no one can guide him. I bear witness that no one is worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his last messenger. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu attaqullaha haqqa tuqatihi wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. Today's khutbah is about the economic system of Islam. The economic system of Islam is fundamentally different from both capitalism and communism. And in some respects, is a compromise between the two extremes, standing between them. It possesses the virtues of both capitalism and communism, but is free from their evils. The relations of the individuals in this system are so organized that they are able to develop a spirit of cooperation and mutual help in the place of competition and rivalry. It provides them with not only every possible facilities for this purpose in the social and economic field, but also gives them such moral education and training that they feel it's their way duty to assist their fellow co-workers in the acquisition of their wants, or at least not to obstruct them in their struggle in life. Islam looks at the economic problem neither from the point of view of the capitalists, who would give unlimited liberty and right of ownership to the individuals and encourage individual exploitation, nor from the point of view of the communists, who would like to take away all individual rights and make the individual merely a slave to the state-controlled economy. But it gives the due allowance to the inherent instinct of the selfishness in man without letting it become harmful to the community. This, the reconciliation between the selfishness of different members of society, is achieved through moral and legal measures. On the one hand, the economic conceptions of the people are challenged and modified by moral education and training, and on the other, legal steps are taken which check the capitalists from going to the limits of miserliness and greed, and the poor from turning to wrath, envy, hatred, and intolerance. The essence of the principle necessary for the economic organization of society for this purpose is this: the right to privatization, ownership, and freedom of enterprise under a just and limited capitalism, which is indispensable for human progress, should not only be preserved, but maintained, but further encouraged and strengthened. Under this system, concentration of wealth in a few hands is checked, and steps are taken which automatically divert the flow of wealth toward the less fortunate member of the community. In this system are neither the ills of capitalism, which grow up on account of the unlimited right of ownership and free competition, nor the evils of communism, which springs from the extreme regime and dictatorship, and the negation of the right to property. It is a most equitable and just system, in which wealth is not concentrated in a few hands, but is spread throughout the community. This feature of the system is referred to in the following verse of the Holy Quran, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, كَيْ لَا يَكُونَ دَوْلَةً بَيْنَ الْأَغْنِيَاءُ مِنْكُمْ, that it may not make a circuit between the rich among you. Islam offers a very moderate system for the economic betterment of society, which enables its members to establish a stable and balanced economy, free from the evils of capitalism and communism. It provides equal opportunities and grants natural rights to all, the right to property and freedom of enterprise. and at the same time maintains a balance in the distribution of wealth. But in order to maintain stability in the economic system, the right to private property and economic freedom is not unlimited, as under capitalism, but is subdued by moral and legal restrictions. The overall effects of these measures is that wealth keeps on circulating continuously among the people and does not unnecessarily accumulate at any particular point. Every individual gets his due and rightful share, and the nation prospers. In the economic system of Islam, neither do a few individuals become the custodians of the national wealth of the country, nor are all individuals brought forcibly to the same economic level. But conditions are created under which every individual, without harming his fellows, can earn sufficient wealth to satisfy his wants in the best possible way. He spends his income most economically without disturbing the economic equilibrium of society. Above all, it is not possible in this system for a few individuals to amass huge wealth by exploitation, while the great majority of people are left with hardly the bare necessary of life. Islam condemns the extreme conditions of life and stands for a middle course in between. These two schools of thoughts, which is the Zuhd or asceticism and the materialism. Surat al-Hadid, we read, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَرَهْبَانِيَّةً ابْتَدَعُوهَا مَا كَتَبْنَاهَا عَلَيْهُمْ إِلَّا ابْتِغَاءَ رِضْوَانِ اللَّهِ فَمَا رَعَوْهَا حَقَّ رِعَايَتِهَا فَأَتَيْنَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْهُمْ أَجْرَهُمْ وَكَثِيرٌ مِنْهُمْ فَاسِقُونَ. But monotheism they invented for themselves, we did not prescribe it to them, we commanded only the seeking for the good pleasure of God, but that they did not foster as they should have done. Yet we bestowed on those among them who believed their due rewards. The Islam condemns materialism. Islam condemns materialism, those people who regard the gratification of economic wants as an end in itself. We will quote a few verses from the Holy Quran to show that this attitude of life is also not the right approach to the economic problem. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, this is in the Surah Al-Kahf. قل هل ننبئكم بالأخسرين أعمالا الذين ضل سعيهم في الحياة الدنيا وهم يحسبون أنهم يحسنون صنعا. So say, shall we inform you who will be the greatest losers by their works, those whose efforts are wasted in the life of the world, and yet they reckon that they do good works. Islam has suggested a middle course between these divergent conceptions of life. Moderation in every walk of life is the golden rule of Islam, which is repeated time and time again in the Holy Quran. In Surah Al-An'am, we have the translation, whom Allah will, He places on a straight path. In Surah Al-Fatiha, we read the translation, show us the straight path. And Surah Al-An'am has, we read the translation, this is the path of your Lord, a straight path. We have detailed our revelations for a people who take it for them in this abode of peace with their Lord. he will be their protecting friend because of what they used to do. In these verses, it is clearly mentioned that success and security in this world are only for those who follow the straight and righteous path in their lives. The Holy Quran mentioned beauty along with the physical pleasure of life at many other places to show that it is created for the benefit and pleasure of man. Islam thus revolutionized the whole conception of religion rewards life when it demanded from the followers the same earnest endeavors in the pursuit of life as in prayers and mediation. The following verse of the Holy Quran refers to this amazing and revolutionary conception of life. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وابتغ فيما أتاك الله الدار الآخرة ولا تنس نصيبك من الدنيا. Translation: seek the abode of the hereafter by means of what God has given you, and forget not to take your due share from this world. Modern technologists, by saying that modern civilization is dependent to great extent on steel, have only confirmed what the Holy Quran anticipated 1400 years ago. In this world, and we created steel, which is very hard, and it contains a variety of benefits for mankind. Besides, Islam has not confined human effort to the mere exploitation of the natural resources of the earth, but has urged man to dive down into the sea and use fish and other sea animals for food and pearls for adornment. He is further urged to work hard to manufacture and develop industry and trade. The prophets of God themselves worked hard for their lives. The Holy Quran admires the prophet Dawood for his skill and craftsmen in making coats of mail from steels, and Prophet Solomon for employing artisans and craftsmen for making fortress statues and huge columns, and many other prophets for their skill and craftsmanship. This conception of life will build for us a model society in which we will not find the type of idle person who believes him to be confined within the four walls of the mosque, temple, or church, and regard economic progress as a sin, who is always economically dependent upon others and looks to them for the satisfaction of his economic needs, and who is a social prize. Nor will we find those people who use their wealth as a means for the exploitation of the poor and justify such means, right or wrong, by the attainment of their personal end. But we will find those people in this system who are merciful and compassionate entrepreneurs, hard-working laborers, and just and economical consumers. They work in the capacity of entrepreneurs and employers, but do not use unjust methods for the production of wealth, nor justify inequitable distribution of wealth. They recognize the right of every individual to receive the basic requirements of life. They not only give fair wages to the laborers with love and affection, but regard them as their brothers who assist them in their work. The laborers, in their turn, are diligent and responsible to take a full interest in their work. Similarly, the consumer of this system are economical and moderate and try to safeguard the common good of society along with their individual goods. Just as Islam wants to maintain a balance in the relationship of God and man, similarly, it wants to establish justice in regulating the relations of human beings in order to save society from evil consequences of their excesses in the economic field. This is why Islam wishes to establish justice, not in any one aspect, but in every aspect of social life. The Holy Quran promises a happy and prosperous life to those who try to establish just a system in these words. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن هذا القرآن يهدي للتي هي أقوم ويبشر المؤمنين الذين يعملون الصالحات أن لهم أجرا كبيرا. This Quran leads to the straight path, those who believe in it and do good deeds. It promises them great rewards. Here, justice and equity is referred to as the straight path. And the people who treat the path of righteousness and justice are given good news in the above verse. Thus, the Holy Quran sets forth a fundamental truth that the only people who succeed in this world are those who establish justice in every sphere of life and abstain from all type of excesses. The Holy Quran warns the people against the evil consequences of their excesses in the economic field in this world. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذا أردنا أن نهلك قرية أمرنا مترفيها ففسقوا فيها فحق عليها القول فدمرناها تدميرا. Translation: when we decide to destroy a population, we first send a definite order to those among them who are given the good things of this world and yet transgress, so that the word is proved true against them. Then we annihilate them completely. Here, reference is made to that famous law of nature, which governs the rise and fall of nations. When the rich and wealthy use unfair methods of acquiring wealth and exploit and turn the poor and the weak, when they spend their wealth lavishly and indulge in a life of luxury, this uneven distribution of wealth disturbs the balance of life in the society. The rich grow richer and the poor grow poorer. Ultimately, this economic excesses and inequalities of wealth shatters the peace and prosperity of the nation and bring about its downfall. The evils which grow up in society when wealth is concentrated in a few hands are in fact referred to in the above mentioned verse of the Holy Quran. The words, translation, we sinned. A commandment in the text shows that when excessive wealth is in the hands of a few individuals in the country, wickedness becomes rampant and the people commit admonitions. At the one extreme are the wealthy few who waste millions of luxuries, and at the other extreme are the poverty-striking masses who cannot satisfy even their bare needs. In the end, this inequitable distribution of wealth ruins the nation. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم. أدعو الله عسى أن تكون هذه ساعة إجابة. Supplicate may Allah accept our supplication at this time. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي. يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم، وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم، في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pointed out in the various ways the evil consequences of an equal distribution of wealth in society. He is reported to have said, on the one hand, excesses of wealth may endanger the faith and morality of the Muslims, and on the other, poverty may drag them toward disbelief. In simple words, this means that economic inequities are the root cause of disruption and wickedness in society, and ultimately lead to its destruction. The same thing is reported in these words. Once a few companions of the Holy Prophet resolved permanently to keep fast during the day and not to sleep at night, but engaged themselves in prayer, and that they would not eat meat and other such things, and that they would not go near women. When the Holy Prophet came to know of it, he said, "I am not ordered to do such thing. You owe certain duties to yourself. You can keep a fast and can also eat on other days. You can engage in prayer at night and also enjoy sleep. Look at me. I sleep and also say prayer. Sometimes I fast and sometimes I don't. I eat meat and butter. Who is ever like not my way of life, he is not of us." Then he further remarked, "What has happened to these people? They have forbidden women good food, perfume, sleep, and good things of the world to them. I have not taught you to adopt this. My religion, there's neither zuhd, abstinence from women and meat, nor monotheism for self-restraint. There is fasting and jihad, possess all the benefits of zuhd this life, work on God and perform the ordinary duty of religion, that pilgrimage, prayer, paying zakah and fasting the month of Ramadan. The people before you were ruined, for they placed many hardship on them, went to extremes, and were ultimately caught by the law of nature, as they defied the law of nature by going to the extremes." This hadith explains the fundamental principle of Islam, which justifies within certain limits the enjoyment of worldly things. Man is allowed to benefit from them in any way he likes, provided he commits no excesses. He may spend his wealth on the satisfaction of his wants according to his means without indulging in luxuries. But all the time, he must be very careful that he does no harm to other people, nor must he exploit them. The hadith is a warning to Muslims that they must maintain true balance and justice in life. Otherwise, they will be ruined as previous nations were. It also refers to the fact that it is always the moral and economic excesses of people that brings about their ruin. Those nations prosper that are guided by the principle of moderation and built their social system on moderate moral and economic principles. As soon as they lose their balance, their moral and economic superiority crumbles and their political influence weakens. The same principle is repeated in another saying of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his words, "The best of you is one who ignores not this world in favor of the hereafter, or the hereafter for this world, and is not a burden on the people." The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has here impressed upon man and the true harmony between the moral and economic sides of life. A man should neither be so entirely of this world that in the acquisition of the material means of life, he forgets God, nor should he incline so much toward the spiritual life that he ignores the economic side. But he should keep everything in its proper perspective by saying that he should not be a burden on the people. The Holy Prophet has clearly stated that Islam does not approve of people who depend upon others and do not work for themselves. It teaches men to work in order to acquire wealth for their personal use and for the use of others. It is reported that once the Holy Prophet said, "Do your work in this world in such a way as if you were expecting to live forever, and work for the hereafter as if you were expecting to die tomorrow." In this hadith, the Holy Prophet has advised Muslims to adopt a just and moderate course of life so that they can maintain harmony between material and spiritual needs. They must not incline toward one side and reject the other. For matter and spirit are equally important and merely two sides of the same picture, without either of the which human life is incomplete. This type of education enables a man to steer a middle course of way from the excesses of life. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam rejected all the wrong conception of religion which people had formed for themselves, and stated that religion did not teach hatred of the world, and furthermore, that hatred of the world did not make a man pious. Then the Holy Prophet prayed for the economic prosperity of his followers in these words, "O Lord, these people are barefooted and have no horses or camels to ride upon. Give them horses and camels to ride. O Lord, these people are unclothed, naked. Give them clothes. O Lord, these people are hungry. Give them food." Narrated by Abu Dawood. According to Munzar ibn Jarir, the Holy Prophet once saw some men in rags and barefooted. His face turned pale, for he was grieved to see them destitute. Seeing these men in this condition, he went into his house and then came out and asked Bilal to call the Muslims. As the people gathered there, he asked them to help the poor. When enough money had been collected, it was given to the poor people. Then the Holy Prophet was happy that his face was glittering like gold. This shows that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was fully conscious of the consequences of excesses in either direction. So he was very happy when the poor received money. The Holy Prophet attached so much importance to the satisfaction of human wants that he made the acquisition of economic means almost compulsory for Muslims. The remark of the Holy Prophet that poverty takes man to the boundary line of disbelief, narrated by Muslim, further strengthens our view that the satisfaction of the elementary wants of man is essential, for without it, he is unable to keep even his moral standard. In other words, Islam cannot approve a society which does not provide the basic needs for its members. Thus, Islam tries to coordinate the economic and spiritual aspects of man's life, for a defect in one leads a defect in another. As a result, we find that men, while busy in the pursuit of material gain, are not unmindful of the existence of God and the moral code of life. In the Islamic system, the Holy Quran praises such men in these words: men whom neither merchandise nor sale be glued from the remembrance of God, and constancy in prayer, and praying to the poor, and paying for the poor their due. The Holy Prophet is asked to maintain true harmony in life in the following words: and keep your soul content with those who call on their Lord morning and evening, seeking His countenance, and let not your eyes overlook them, seeking the pomp and the glitter of this life. This is the true Quranic conception of life. It tells Muslims to maintain true harmony and balance in life, neither to hate nor love this world too much. It makes economic sufficiency a prerequisite for the moral and spiritual uplift of the people. For so long as the common man does not have this his basics and elementary needs satisfied, he can neither become a good citizen nor can his moral standard improve. It is also a fact that poor people have neither religion nor moral standard. Therefore, Islam has made provisions for the basic needs for every individual in its economic system. The words of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that poverty takes a man to the boundary line of disbelief refers to the same basic needs of each individual. This is the economic system to which the Holy Quran and the Sunnah guide us, and which was put into practice by the first four Khalifs of the Holy Prophet. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, the first Khalifa, declared the policy of his Khalifate in these words: the weak among you is strong in my eyes until I give his rightful share back to him, if God so pleases. And the strong among you is weak in my eyes until I take back the share of others from him, if God pleases. In these words, Abu Bakr has shown a way to end permanently the economic inequalities in the community, for they have no place in the economic system of Islam. In this system, surplus are taken away from the people who get more than their rightful share by unjust and corrupt methods, while those who receive less than their fair share are given their due. Thus, economic justice and harmony is mentioned in the society and maintained. Umar radiallahu anhu, the second Khalifa, referred to the principle, the same principle of justice in the following words: by God, no one is stronger than the weak among you in my eyes until I give back his right from others. And no one is weaker than the strong among you in my eyes until I take away from him the wrongfully acquired shares of others. Umar was very strict in maintaining social justice, and he did not spare anyone. Once he remarked, "I will place one sheikh of the aggressor, one who wrongfully acquires the share of the weak, on the ground, and will place my foot on the other sheikh, and they receive the total due from him. And in this respect, I will place my own sheikh on the ground before the Muslims." In these words, Khalifa Umar has only reminded us of the significance of the social justice. For so long as disharmonies and excesses are found in the economic system, society cannot attain perfection. In fact, the safety, success, and prosperity of society are linked very closely with harmony, moderation, and justice. So long as a society is working on this principle, it will prosper and no evil will arise in it. The Holy
Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has explicitly stated the essence of the principle of justice in these words: the best course is in everything is the course of moderation, narrated by Bukhari. And the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has explained the same principle in another way: I am sent to teach high morals, which apply to the whole of social life, to the people. Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqan wa arzuqna attiba'ah, wa arina al-batila batilan wa arzuqna ijtinabah. Allahumma inna na'udhu bika min ilmin la yanfa' wa min qalbin la yakhsha' wa min nafsin la tashba' wa min da'watin la yastujabu laha. Allahumma anzih hubb ad-dunya min qulubina. اللهم انصر دينك وكتابك وسنة نبيك وأوليائك الصالحين. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من الربا والزنا والظلم والغش والكذب والبغي والعدوان. عباد الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. فاذكروا الله العظيم الجليل يذكركم، واشكروه على النعم يزدكم، ولذكر الله أكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون. وأقم الصلاة.
الله أكبر، الله أكبر، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. حي على الصلاة، حي على الفلاح، قد قامت الصلاة، قد قامت الصلاة. الله أكبر، الله أكبر، لا إله إلا الله،
نعم رسول الله.
استقيموا يرحمكم الله، ساووا صفوفكم فإن تسوية الصفوف من تمام إقام الصلاة. استريتم قوانين الفريق إن شاء الله.